imagine the small band of shepherds, a group of simple laborers out in a field who were so overcome with joy and wonder that they ran immediately to find the baby in a manger, leaving their sheep with no thought of what might happen to them. This same small child would grow up into an adult and ask another group of simple laborers, this time fishermen, to drop everything they had to find him and become fishers of men. Have we dropped our cares and concerns to follow him, to worship him? Soon, kings would take him precious gifts, and the most precious gift we can offer to him is ourselves. Jesus came to dwell among us.
Sure to double mute my mic on that. If the children would now come forward for our children's moments. Come on, there we go. All right. How are you all doing this morning? Y'all doing all right? Do y'all see what this is? What is it? What's in there? Marbles. Well, yeah, some marbles, some stones. And what are they in? Water, right? And then we got this bowl here. Today, we are going to have a baptismal reaffirmation service, and we're going to remember our baptisms. Remember that we are baptized children of God, and we are going to be thankful for that. And so what we'll do later in the service is we'll have everyone who's in here to come forward and to put their hands in and to grab a stone, and they'll hear, remember that you are a baptized child of God, and be thankful. And we'll remember God's love for us today. And you guys won't all be here. I don't think I'm going to have you reach in and grab one, because I can only imagine what will happen if I do that at this point. So, but we will make sure that you all have an opportunity to get a stone a little bit later, okay? But I want us to remember today how much God loves us and how much he cares for us. And when Jesus was baptized, God said, "This is my son whom I love, in him I am well pleased." And when we're baptized, as God sees us, he says, "You are my children whom I love, with you I am well pleased." So I want you all to know this morning that God is well pleased with you and that he loves you, all right? All right, let's pray, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for the gift we have in the sacrament of baptism and also the sacrament of Holy Communion, and we pray your continued blessings upon us each and every day. Lord, we thank you for these children, for what they have to teach us, Lord, and what we have to teach them. And we pray that you would continue to help them to grow into the men and women that you have called them to be. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go downstairs.
I have a marble collection, a big collection.
Cool. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Hear now the word of our Lord. At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, for this day, for this time we can come together, we give you thanks. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word, and pray that you would give me the words to speak. May they be yours and not mine. I pray that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful and obedient to your call. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Like many of you this morning, I have been baptized. I have gone through the sacrament of it myself. I participated in this sacrament in 1997. That summer, I was either 15 or 16. I don't quite remember which, but I was one of those and was baptized at that time. As a child growing up, getting baptized before this wasn't an option. And it wasn't an option for several different reasons. The first reason that baptism before this wasn't an option is that my parents were Baptist, and so I was not baptized as an infant or early on like we practice in the United Methodist Church. And I'm not saying whether that's good or bad, I'm just simply saying that's what happened. So easy. They dedicated me as a child, and then I was baptized several years later. One of the other reasons that baptism before this time wasn't an option to me is that I didn't know all of the different ways you could be baptized. Immersion was the only one I was familiar with. I didn't realize there was the option of sprinkling or pouring. Had no idea. If I had known this, probably when I was about 8 years old, when we started going to Fern Creek United Methodist Church, I probably would have been baptized like yesterday, you know, right away, as soon as this happened. I was ignorant to the various modes of baptism that we practice in the United Methodist Church. But the main obstacle keeping me from getting baptized, because of my ignorance, I only knew immersion was the only one I was aware of. When I was a child, I had tubes in my ears. Anyone here ever have tubes in your ears? What are you not supposed to do with tubes? You're not supposed to get wet. You're not supposed to submerge your head. If I wanted to go swimming, I had to get Silly Putty. Now, y'all played with Silly Putty. I did not play with Silly Putty as a kid. I put it in my ears at the request of the doctor. And then I was asked to put on the ugliest lime green swim cap that the world has ever known. I was a fat, short version of Michael Phelps. I got invited to a lot of birthday parties around that time, and I think the reason why, they all happened at a pool was so that they could see me in my green cap. Good old friends. And I was not going to go before my church family with that green cap on and Silly Putty. And it was not going to happen. It was not going to happen. So I had all these obstacles in my way. And then at the age of 15, their tubes weren't there, and we went forward. If you'll notice in this story, the word I or me was brought up quite a bit. Did you notice anybody that I left out? Well, you're shaking your head. Yes, who did I leave out? God. God. I've mentioned him very sparsely, if at all. And for many of us, when we talk about our baptism, that's what we do. Well, this is how my baptism took place. These are the things that took place in my life. And God is very rarely used. I've noticed this in conversations that I've had with people, because I've had many, many conversations about baptism and all of the various beliefs and things of this nature. And very rarely is God brought up in these conversations. And as I was thinking about my own baptism story, I started thinking, you know, all I'm talking about is me. I'm talking very little about God. And I know that I'm not alone in this. Baptism in our society for us has become something that's far too personal. And there are personal aspects to it. There are personal aspects to our faith, but we are a corporate people as well. We are a people of God, and we do well to remember him in all of the things that we do. Now, we don't mean to do this. It's not something we set out to do, but as American Christians, we tend to approach God and faith and church, the sacraments, with a tinge of arrogance, don't we? We don't mean to do this, but as we think back, we make it all about us. I have decided to love God and to be a follower. I have decided that I'm going to have faith. I've also decided that I'm going to choose this faith here, and I'm going to pick a little out of this faith here, and I'm going to choose which faith and the various aspects of faith that I want. I'm going to make my own little faith pizza here and put on the various toppings that I want and leave off the rest. I've decided to go to church. And darn it, I'm going to pat myself on the back for getting up and coming to church. And if heaven forbid somebody should say something at my church, because then I may decide to go to another church. Uh-oh. I've decided to come forward for communion. I've decided to get baptized. Me, me, me. I. Myself, myself, myself. God tells us in Scripture that we love only because he first loved us. The only reason we have any kind of choice at all is because of God's initial choice. Because God has chosen. He has chosen us. He has chosen to be our God. He has chosen for us to be his people if we would respond positively to that choice. We often come before God and others with the sense of, allow me, God. Allow me. And God quickly says, no, no. Allow me. Allow me. What does Jesus say when he comes to John the Baptist this morning? Allow me to be baptized. Allow me to take part in this. Allow me to set an example for those who will come to follow me after We don't often allow God to be God, do we? Like John the Baptist this morning, when God comes to us and says, allow me, we say, whoa, hold on a second. You're coming to me for this? You should be the one doing this. Anyone ever said that? You want me to do what, God? You want me to go where? You want me to talk to who? No. You do this. You're God. You're the one that has this taken care of. You're the one that needs to do this. Both Jesus and John, in this passage, they know something that many of us do not know this morning. They know that in this scene taking place, they are not the primary actors. They are the secondary actors. They are the supporting cast. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are the primary actors here. The Father and the Holy Spirit are the ones doing something here. John and Jesus are simply, merely responding to that. Why do John and Jesus find themselves where they are in this passage this morning? The answer is simple, and yet it has really just opened my eyes this week. They are there because their Father told them to be there. The only reason John the Baptist is in the Jordan River baptizing is because God the Father said, this is what you need to be doing. The only reason Jesus comes to John to be baptized at all in the first place is because his Father told him, you need to go and do this. It was not about John's or Jesus' choice. It is and it always has been about God our Father's choice. Always. It was and is and it always will be God's choice. Because God is the primary actor. We are his supporting cast if we respond. Now, that's not to say there is no choice on our part, but our choice by far takes second place to God's choice. And this is the very definition of a sacrament, as we understand it in the United Methodist Church. A sacrament is something that God does that we are able to participate in. You've heard the phrase, it's not about me. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you this morning, that means everything. It's not about us in any aspect of the church. God is all about us, and we see how he is all about coming to us and bringing us to himself. We need to be all about God. That is what we need to be all about. Neither baptism or communion are about what we do or don't do. It's about what God does, is doing, and will do. Neither baptism or communion are about what we know or about what we don't know. It's about what God knows. It's about who God is. These are divine mysteries. Jesus uses very simple language and visual aids to help us understand something that we cannot fully grasp or comprehend. And if we make these sacraments, if we make our relationship with God, if we make all of these things about what we do or don't do, about what we know or don't know, we've missed the point entirely. Because these are great mysteries. God's love is a great mystery. If you have God figured out, it's not God, because he is mysterious. He is beyond our comprehension. All we're asked to do is be faithful, to be obedient, to look to him and to make him the center of everything that we do. What's beautiful about the sacrament of baptism is that it points us back to God's initial act of love. We talked about this today in confirmation, God's initial act of love, and that initial act is creation. Because God chose, we're here. Ta-da! We exist. There are some parallels with Genesis 1 and Matthew chapter 3, this story in particular, that we should be aware of. In Genesis chapter 1, we see that the Spirit hovers over the dark waters. We see in this passage, as Jesus is coming up out of the water, that the Holy Spirit hovers over the waters in the form of a dove. to help us understand and to help us see God's creative, redemptive work. God in Genesis brings order out of chaos. He hovers over the dark waters. Water for the Jewish people, the Israelites of this time, represented chaos and disorder. He hovers over these dark waters, and out from it, he speaks life. He speaks light. He speaks order into it. In this passage that we've looked at today, Jesus tames the chaos of our sin through his baptism. He begins that reordering, that restructuring in this sacrament. The best thing I think that God does in creation, after he's created the things he has created, is he says that it is good. And after he creates Adam, he says that is very good. He said the same thing after he created me, just in case you were wondering. And he did with you as well. You are very good. And what does he say to Jesus after he is baptized? You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. With you it is very good. This is what baptism is meant to remind us of. This is why we practice this sacrament. This is why we reaffirm it on a regular basis, to be reminded. Baptism always points to God's initiation of love. The waters that were present at creation were also present during the flood. In the creation, the waters gave birth to life. In the flood, waters gave birth to restoration and purification. We have the Israelites fleeing their imprisonment in Egypt. And how do they get to the other side? They go through the waters of the Red Sea. And after they mess up again, after they wander around in confusion and chaos in the wilderness for 40 years, they go through the Jordan River to the Promised Land. Each and every one of us were given life through the waters of a womb, just like Jesus. We were given life and breath. And we were put together. All of this indicates God's initial love. We love because God first loved us. He proves his love in that while we were yet sinners, before we were created, before we were formed, before we had any understanding of anything, he loved us and he called us to himself. As Christians, we are born through water and the Spirit. The waters of baptism remind us that God desires to establish order in our lives as well. There's nothing inherently holy about the water that is used. There's nothing inherently holy about the person doing the baptizing or the person being baptized. Rather, these are symbols of our necessity of water. We have to have water to survive. And just as we have to have water to survive, so we must have God to survive. We must have God to exist. How many of us chose this morning to be born? I'm so glad I didn't see any hands go up. How many of us chose this morning whether or not God would love us? None of us. So why do we think our choice is so important? And why do we do so in such an arrogant fashion? Jesus tells John in verse 15 that his baptism is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. And the same is still true today. At our baptisms, whenever that occurs, as an adult, as a child, somewhere in between, however it's practiced through immersion, sprinkling, or pouring, we hear God proclaim, "You are my child whom I dearly love. I find happiness in you." No wonder there's a sense of immediacy in Jesus' words when he comes to John. In verse 15, he says, "Allow me to be baptized now." Let's not wait a second longer. Let's do it as soon as we can. It's no wonder Jesus does this, because he wants to hear his Father tell him how much he loves him. He wants to be reminded of all that God has done and continues to do in our midst, whether we are aware of it or not, whether we've asked for it or not. Allow me, Jesus says, allow me to be baptized. Allow me to show you my love. And he's still saying that today. We do have a choice. There is an aspect where we are asked to respond. Jesus is saying to us, allow me today. Allow me to show you what this is all about. This morning, this day, every day of our lives, we do not come forward, we do not do anything because of our love for God only, but it is a response to God's love, always. It can't be any other way. I hope and pray this morning that we will allow Jesus not to answer our questions, but just to be God in our life. I pray this morning that we will stop trying to figure everything out and simply allow God to be God. To learn and to know and to hear what we need to learn and know and hear when we need to learn and know and hear it. I pray that we never stop seeking answers, but above all, I pray that we never stop seeking God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love for us. We thank you that before we even knew there was the option to exist, that you loved us enough to create us. We thank you that before we knew we needed your salvation, you offered it freely to us and continued to pull us and point us in that direction. We pray that as we continue to live, as we continue to strive to be your people, that we would continue to allow you to be you, and that we might simply follow suit. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.